Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Welcome, guys, to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator, the podcast where we're loving, living, and working with dogs. And today we have a special guest on board, Fred Volkman from upstate New York. And Fred's on today's podcast because we're going to be talking about dog ownership in general. Fred has a couple dogs, and we're going to be kind of going back and forth of really what my viewers probably want to hear. A lot of you out there are either definitely dog owners, but some of you are in the dog training world. Some of you are just dog owners in general. So I think this is going to pertain to the dog trainers and the dog people, because we're going to be talking about the plus and minuses to being a responsible dog owner and making right decisions, what decisions to make, what things to do, what to look for. And so, Fred, why don't you just tell us what you have at home, how old, how many you got?
I have two huskies. One's an Alaskan husky, and one is a Siberian husky. They definitely look, the Alaskan husky looks like Alaskan husky, the Siberian. I've never done any type of tests on them or anything, but I'm pretty darn sure that they're, you know, she's got the blue eyes, and
yeah, and that's,
he's got the size for an Alaskan.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too. You know, I've heard of the tests going out and coming back, and some of them are pretty accurate, and some of them just are not good.
I was thinking of doing it just for kicks, but
yeah,
pretty much, so it's pretty obvious.
So you have two huskies.
Yes.
They're
2 years old. You know them well.
So right now, by the way, for those of you out there who are just listening to our podcast and not on our YouTube, because we also have a YouTube being filmed and distributed as well for the visual effect, it's a Sunday. Last night I went to a marathon dance in my hometown, South Glens Falls High School. They do a marathon dance every year, and we raised $830,000 for people in the community. So anyway, I was out really late, helping with that and celebrating. And so today is a Sunday. We're lazy. We got a couple local beers on the table as well.
EQX
beer.
Station.
Schmaltz.
Albany.
Yeah, we have some Schmaltz Brewery. So anyway, we're having a couple beers and hanging out, and we worked some dogs earlier, and Fred popped in, and I think it would be a good opportunity to talk dogs with a pet owner, if you will. And I think the determining factor of those of you who work professionally with dogs will determine, and then those of you who are just pet owners, is I think – and this is kind of why we had Fred on, is because there's a huge difference, I think, in the mentality of people who work dogs professionally and who have dogs – to have dogs because they love them. And I think there's a gray area.
People right in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, I think that there's – so that's kind of what
– extremes.
Yeah. So, you know, our last guest was Tyler Muto, world-renowned dog trainer. And we talked really specifically about the dog training industry, the dogs that we work with. And today, we're just going to throw it back and talk a little bit about just dog ownership in general to somebody who has dogs that, you know, probably has dealt with a lot of stuff that everyone deals with at home, whether you're a dog trainer or not. And so, Fred, talk to me a little bit about when you have your dogs, right? So they're 2 years old, you said?
They're 2 years old.
2 years old, so.
A little over two now.
Huskies are, you know, predominantly built for working.
I have two.
They're a snow breed, so they like the snow, they like the cold. They don't really like to be inside. And I can personally tell you that huskies are So I do a lot of interviews. I do a lot of questionnaire stuff. And throughout the years, I get the question of, like, what's the hardest dog? And Huskies are definitely it.
I know. So, I got that after I got them. You told me that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. So
to this day, we haven't gotten together to work on them.
Yeah. But so we have. So Fred has done some training a little bit probably 2 years ago, right, with Colby, right when he was a puppy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really big about no bad dogs. I'm really big about, you know, the owner having an issue and something being wrong with the owner typically, especially when we're training, when we're not getting into genetics, you know, when we're talking about working dogs and are they genetically sound and things like that, temperament. We're just talking about regular pet training for the no bad dogs movement for the most part, meaning, you know, if you have a pet at home that you have and they're a jerk, chances are it's because of you. Or if they're being made to look like a jerk, chances are it's because of you. So you had some training earlier on, and that was with Colby, which is the male, and he was doing fairly well. Is that fair to say?
Fairly well. He, you know, for the time I put into it, and the amount of time that we went and how you just related to him and how you worked with him. And again, a lot of it was group, right? You did very little one-on-one with him. And he you know, Colby's turned out to be one of the most... He could be a therapy dog.
Yeah,
you know,
he's really relaxed.
He's a great dog.
For sure.
And he's the Alaskan. And Alaskan Husky.
Alaskan Husky.
Yeah, he's Alaskan.
Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, I think that's what he is. So, there's no doubt about it that being a pet owner, being the pet owner, I think what it really comes down to is that, you know, I work with him the way I work with him. You know, I'm an old time dog owner. I didn't have a lot of, you know, trainers in my background. So I just brought him up the way I would normally bring up a dog. And I've been lucky with both of them.
Yeah.
That's not always the case, of course.
Well, I think that's a good point because today's society, I was reading, scrolling through something, and it was saying that there's a stat going around in a realtors association that people are actually now buying homes that are going to be customized or to adjacent or to benefit their dog rather than their spouse or their kid.
Wow.
And so, I'm sure everyone out there can kind of agree that, you know, because of social media, cute puppies and whatnot, especially in what I do, it's king. And the dog industry has grown so much. And there's things that I used to do with dogs when I was very, very young that I am looking back now and I'm like, and I'm sure everyone who does that, you know, even if you're a chef or you're whatever, you're like, wow, I used to do that because now I know the right way. But it's a good point. Let's to be fair, 15, 20 years ago,
30,
whatever,
40,
you know, you have a dog and they're there when you come home. You don't need them trained. You don't care what they're like on the leash because you don't walk them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm the epitome of a pet owner. We talked about this, Tom, and I don't think this is like pet owner versus handler, but you should be responsible.
Right.
Am I always responsible? No. Do my dogs get loose and run into the woods? Yes, they do, and they have. And they eat rabbit poop. And, you know, that's been a little discouraging, and I've been wanting to, you know, work with them more to get the recall and get them to. But overall, I'm partly being a pet owner. Sometimes you're just lucky.
Yeah.
You're just flat out lucky, and that's kind of dangerous. And in some cases, it can almost be irresponsible. And people, let's face it, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, they've definitely become more concerned and more, you know, hyped up about having dogs,
absolutely,
having your dogs, your pets, as being, you know, trained and being obedient and being, you know, and you being respectful of other people.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's a great point. And I think that, you know, moving forward with, like I said, the industry of dogs has grown so much, and which is good because the dogs are actually benefiting from it, right? Because the dogs are, I think you're getting more dogs trained, which then makes people who don't have trained dogs look like, holy crap, this sucks because I can't walk.
Well, I'd agree with that, but I'd also say that it's actually the people that are getting more benefits out of it because the dogs already have great benefits, right? If you're a pet owner, We take care of our dogs as well as we took care of our children.
Good point.
I mean, we actually shovel my 25 by 25 foot deck in the back, no matter how much it snowed, just so we can have our dogs, you know, being comfortable to play, you know, be out there, and we can walk out there, and we plow the snow and make paths for them.
Yep.
We feed them, you know, really well. We clean, we wash their bowls every day after they eat. I mean, I can go on
right,
and on and on what we do for these dogs. So by training them, though, I think you actually get, you know, because so a lot of pet owners, let's face it, they take care of their dogs.
Right, but they take care of them on a very materialistic way.
Yes.
Right? They have nice coats. They have nice leashes. They get good food.
Right.
But, you know, the understanding of each other is lacking.
Not a primate way.
Right, but...
More of a human way.
Right.
And that's your big argument, and a lot of experts and trainers out there is that, you know, you got to treat a dog like a dog.
Right.
You know, if you don't, there's gonna be some consequences.
Absolutely. And there's a show, I think it was on one of the Discovery Channel shows where it was like a dangerous in love type show where a certain person would have these dangerous exotic animals, lions, tigers, bears, hyenas.
Yeah, really?
Wolves. Yeah.
Wow.
Dangerous distractions it's something crazy like that. But anybody
something
out there,
on Spike.
Yeah, if you know it out there.
The old Spike Channel.
Exactly. And what it was is these people had these animals, chimpanzees, things like that.
Oh, it could be Animal Planet.
I love these things, right? And they had this, they thought they had this great thing because they had the nice enclosure, they were feeding them this, they were doing that. And every single episode, they either killed the owner or attacked them in some way. Right?
How about the chimpanzee one?
Exactly.
Wow, that story was so bad.
Killed like I think
like a neighbor or somebody or her. Or I
killed her, and then I think the person who came the rescue or something like that.
Crazy.
You know, going into that rabbit hole there of there's so many things to go about
it. That's an extreme, but
totally.
Dogs are very domesticated now. But I mean, let's face it. This whole push for having dogs being more, you know. More domesticated in the sense that they're more obedient and they're more, you can bring them more places.
Right.
Right? Let's face it. You go to a restaurant, you go somewhere and you got a dog or you're just walking down, you know, down Saratoga, you know, down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that dog that just is, you know, leaping at everybody or starts attacking other dogs. And if everybody would, you know, take more time into doing some of the basic obedience... It makes it more comfortable for everybody. Dogs become more inclusive in our lives.
But you being the dog owner and, you know, me being biased in what I do because it's what I do, wouldn't you rather have a dog that's well-behaved than a dog that, you know, maybe...
Well, changes quality of life, right? You've talked about it so much. And when I first met you, that's one of the things that I think you found that really just stood out. And that is a good dog trainer or somebody that – or pet owner that actually takes the steps to go through the training for their dog.
Right.
They bring a whole new quality of life to their home.
It's a different understanding.
Well, it's a different environment. When you have a well-trained dog in your house, it just – especially when you have a family, let's say of three or four or five, and you have one or two dogs, if those dogs aren't trained, the whole dynamics – is so different, right?
Well, you're stressed, your significant other's stressed, your kids are stressed, your dogs are stressed.
Yeah, your dogs are stressed. And the kids, they don't care. I mean, they're having a blast,
well, they don't
right? They don't know. They're just playing with them. They just think it's a dog.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that you bring and your industry brings. Industry, your
business.
Your profession brings.
My career,
is that it's just the quality of life to people who have dogs, and that is that's a really big deal because it affects people's work, it affects people's social life.
Butterfly effect.
It really is.
Well, of course, like my dogs right now, you know, my Thompson, he's hanging out and he's with us, right? If I had it, so like my dog,
by the way, where is he?
He's over there somewhere. Okay. But that's my point. Is like if you had a dog that wasn't trained, or if you had a dog that just had no. What do I do?
Yeah. Yeah. I love my daughter. You know, she comes over now, and my two dogs love her, right? So they jump on her. Yeah. I know that's wrong. I know it's a big deal. And she all of a sudden is, oh, how, you know, why are they jumping on me? They shouldn't be jumping on me. I'm like, all right, Taylor, like, you know. You know, and I get that. And I actually want to teach them not to do that. And I can actually taking the time to do it, I could probably do it because they're pretty good with sit and stay.
Yeah.
But they're pretty excitable dogs, especially when they see you, they see Taylor, they see whoever. But especially my next door neighbor, who they know they always have treats in his hand, in his pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to say that there's this definitely a dichotomy here between the pet owner and the handler, but there is definitely that middle ground that I think people should really strive for if they get a dog.
Give me a middle ground.
I think what happens is, like, I know somebody just in Wisconsin, they just got a dog, right?
Yep.
And she said to me, she goes, you know, hey, send me the videos, you know, Tom, or where do I get those videos? Or
YouTube,
what should I do?
/ America's Canine Ed, by the way.
So what do I do? So I sent one of them. I said, just follow, you know, just go and get into these YouTube videos. I'm telling you, you'll learn a lot. And I don't know if she's going to do it. You know, I don't know if she's going to take the time and really, but I'm going to talk to her more and say, look, you know, and it'll be my little, you know, good deed, you know, to say, hey, look, really get that dog trained.
Yeah.
Take the time. Take the effort. You might not have the money to do it, but at least try to. There's plenty of resources out in the web now.
Yeah.
For America's Canine Educator, specifically, to get your dog in a condition that you're going to, your quality of life, your relationship with that dog, where you're going to be able to take him.
Yeah. But
know,
I think.
As good as it's going to be. Is this going to be?
Yeah. And I think it goes even a bit further where you were talking about just get some education on your dog and do these things. But I think it'll give you that there's other options out there. People, like I said, like going back to what we started this conversation originally is you get a dog, you tie him up, you put him on a leash, you feed him crap food, you give him some water every now and then if they're not in the toilet bowl, and that's it.
A lot of people still see it that way.
Of course. But what I try to do is I try to tell people and show people, more importantly, educate people without bashing them. And you know, because I was that person at one point, everyone was. And showing them that there are other options. And I think that people just, they have no idea that there's another way of bringing your dogs up.
There's so much resources out there for everything than it used to be. You used to have to work so hard to find out, get knowledge. Now it's so easy to get knowledge. So, and one of those things is how to bring up a dog to where, you know, you can have a relationship with your dog that is going to be beyond anything, you know, I had when I was a kid with my dog who was literally chained to the front steps, you know, with a 3-foot chain. It was so sad, but I mean, looking back on it,
exactly.
But he was a happy dog. He was good. But at the same time, I'm sure it wasn't what, you know, that dog deserved.
Right. And that's the thing about dogs is, you know, Tyler Muto and I were talking about this last week, is they will always come back, you know, no matter what. You know, I've had dog owners in here just do the wrong things with their dog all the time, both mentally and physically, and the dogs still love them, so
yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
But there is more to life than let's have a dog because, you know, it's the keeping up the Joneses thing. Let's get a dog.
Yeah. I mean, I know families that have, I'm telling you, there's families out there that have given away 3 dogs.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally got a dog, got rid of it.
Yeah, and it's just, it's recyclable, and people, you know, it's like playing the lotto. People think that, oh, this one didn't work out. It's kind of like,
no good.
You got friends out there that, you know, are terrible at dating or something, where they go through 20 boyfriends, and then, Thompson, come on, if you're coming, buddy. My St. Bernard is about 150 pounds, and now he is on the couch with us. Say hi, Thompson. So anyway, you know, there's those people out there that will date, say, 20 people, and what's wrong? They're this, they're that. And you're like, you know what? Is it you? Do you think it's possibly you? And that's what happens with dog ownership.
Yeah.
So, you know, moving forward from that.
I don't want this up there.
I think that we're just kind of talking about the idea of having dogs is evolved for the better. And there's many different avenues you can take to be a good dog owner. And I think for me, being their professional into the mix is I believe that the best route to go with your dog is just understanding them. I think that that's the best route. I think if you can understand your dog, you can train them. I mean, think about employees and people that you work with, that if you go to work and you have a good relationship with the person that's in charge of you and your due diligence and what you're supposed to be doing throughout your career, if you have a good relationship with them, chances are things are going to go pretty smooth. You know, you don't know what you're going to do in the next 6 months for work, but the person that's in charge of that is going to tell you and you're going to listen to them because you have a good relationship,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So if you had a bad relationship, it wouldn't matter what was thrown at you. You're like, screw that because
right.
I don't like that person. Or it's one-dimensional and it doesn't always have to be I don't like that person. It could simply be we're too good of buddies.
Yeah.
It's not – because that's the thing is people are like, my dog loves me.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
I've seen some of the worst relationships and that's kind of why we have you on the show today is you love your dogs – but you can't tell them what to do.
I don't. Well, and that's a great point because I don't. And I see it all the time. And look, Tom, when I met you, you know, I knew I had over the years. I think I'm on my fifth dog, and fourth dog, and it's just look. You have an innate quality that I think you know anybody that were to bring their dog to you, just their eyes open up. And their lives changed with their dogs. There is no two ways about it. I don't know what happened. I got to maybe talk to your dad. But I think back in your ancestry, there's some sort of cross-pollination with wolves or something. But I'll have to talk to your dad about that because it's amazing what you do with dogs. And I know there's others out there that can do it as well. And if you can find that person like yourself, it will change your life with your dog. And there's no doubt about it. Because granted, do my dogs sit? Do they do the basic stuff?
Right.
Yes, they do. Do they come, you know, Kendall, three times. Four times I have to call her.
Five
maybe. Colby, 15.
Right.
But in the end, they come. Now, I know you're going to get all kinds of comments on that. Like, oh, my God, what a terrible, you know, dog owner. Well, let me tell you, I get it. And I want to do more with them. And
yeah,
over
but
time, I will. But
there's also, you know, the plus side to that is I can congratulate you for actually having your dogs out doing something.
Oh, all the
right?
time.
So I would rather you go out with your dogs and do something with them and not have them come back to you rather than say, my dogs can't come back to me, so I'm going to sit inside with them all day.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of like...
They're always safe. I'm not, you know, they're never in a bad place. You know, they do a couple of times, like I said, they've run into the woods and I don't know that what they're eating and that sort of stuff or what Kendall's rolling in. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But I think that's kind of like the cross dissolve there of what I'm talking about is like... Why not have it full circle? Like, hey, I'm the dog owner that's going to bring my dogs hiking, swimming, camping, you know, to go grab a cup of coffee. Why not, you know, I congratulate those people who do that. Because that's the thing is people, like, when I'm out in public, I rarely will even look at dogs because I'm the type of person that, like, if you have an issue, you'll find me. I'm not the type of people that go out there and go, hi, I'm a dog trainer, let me help you, because I don't.
You ignore dogs when we're out.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I see people out with their dogs, and part of me goes, that's terrible because they're doing all of these bad behaviors and getting away with this stuff. But the other part of me is like, you know what? They're out with their dog.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I would rather you be out with your dog and not be able to recall them in some situations than you say, I don't want to bring my dogs out because they don't listen. And
right.
I think that's kind of like the conversation we're having. And you being kind of, the side of just being a pet owner who really hasn't done any training – that have two dogs that probably need training and that you want training, but what are some things that hold you back from reaching out to, and forget you know me, but, you know, what are some things that hold you back?
Knowing that I may not put the time in to, you know, take it to where, put the effort and time in that I should in order to get it to where
it
needs to be.
Because you know it'll make you look bad if things don't follow through.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. And, you know, I see what you can do, and I know that I don't have those qualities, but you know how to pass it on. It's just that, you know, you and I just, and even, well, Christine, even, we just don't spend as much time as we should. And again, I am the typical, you know, maybe a more typical pet owner. So... what I'm hoping this podcast or this time we're spending together does is it changes that with a lot of people. That a lot of people see that, hey, wow, really taking the time, making the investment of training your dog properly. And how long does it take, Tom? You're the first,
me?
Like if they're 4 months old. No, I'm saying if, no, not you. You 10 minutes.
Exactly.
I'm talking about if you know, someone is to come in and do, what, 3 months, 6 months?
It's
maintenance.
Okay,
I understand
so
it's maintenance after that.
Let's walk through the consultation. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You're the dog owner. You
yes.
come in with Colby and Kendall, two yeah. huskies, right?
Yes.
And you say, here's my dogs. What do you think? I say, this is huge. This is really big because I can tell you that my business, the Upstate Canine Academy, we have multiple – I mean, we have like 10 people on full-time payroll that work here, right? That's a lot of heads. That's a lot of people. You know, some of them are trainers. Some of them are daycare people. Some of them are cleaners, and some of them are handlers and whatever it may be. But the thing is I've been doing this like 8 years, maybe a little bit more, 7 days a week. This is a Sunday. I'm here. This is what we always do. And, you know, earlier we worked some protection dogs with a bunch of
awesome.
People who really don't know what they're doing, but they helped out anyway. And they're in the room, so I'm just kidding, guys.
Hey, you'll take anybody that'll bite.
Yeah. So, but
or get bit.
No, really, though, when people come in, here's what I get all the time. And this is for my dog trainer homies out there. And this is also for the dog people who may want to get their dog trained. Here's what to do and what not to do. And when you find a consultation, like our consultations are free, and a lot of times it's filling out paperwork. It's you coming in, you giving us your information, shot records, et cetera, things like that. And then after that, it's really about how much time do you want to spend? It's not really about the dog. And a lot of people come in and they get offended because I don't do many consultations anymore. And I know that
yeah.
we talked about this before.
Yeah. The girls
because,
do, Taylor does, right?
Yeah, it's becoming to a point where people just want to show me their dogs and get my expression. What do you mm-hmm. think? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you because I've helped so many dogs and I can statistically say that I can 100% help you.
Yes.
Without
yeah.
a doubt.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to put in the time, which is what we're marrying.
And that's you're just stressing exactly what I was saying is I'm not – I know me, you know. I haven't put in the time. Will that change? Now they're 2 years old. I've really seen a lot out of them. I'm enjoying these dogs. My kids are grown, so I'm spending more time with them. And so I probably will. In fact, we'll talk about that after the podcast. But you're exactly right that I know it's me.
Right.
It's not the dogs.
But let me walk you through, you know, the
so
second.
I have to put the effort in. The
yes,
dogs have to put very little effort in.
So, and that's like we're to a point now where, you know, like I said, we sign up probably sometimes 2 to 3 dogs a day, Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday, right? And, you know, over the years, I get burnt out because people come in thinking, what do you think of my dog? And I'm like, it sounds rude and pompous maybe, but I'm like, it doesn't matter about your dog.
Right.
Like, it literally has nothing to do. And they're looking right. at me like I have 8 heads. And some people come in knowing the work that I do, and they trust me, and they just –
But it's like any other profession. Like, I'm in sales. I sell equipment. I get the same responses over and over and over again. So
right. How much is
you get the
what
same,
can we cut money?
Yeah.
Do I need this?
Right.
How long
right.
is it going to take?
Yeah. Is it going to work in this app? You know, but it's like the same stuff. So you get used to that and you just got to be able to respond to that.
Yeah.
But I know you're just saying that because you love
exactly.
to hear that.
Well, it's not that. It's the
because
point.
In the end, you know,
it's the dogs that are at the end of the leash when people are standing there. And I'm like, how about I just take your dog?
That's what I'm saying. Then 5 minutes later, you're showing them, and then their eyes just
yeah.
open up.
And then sometimes people
and
still
they realize it's
that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're like, well, what's
well,
your guarantee?
Well, it's defensive.
Well, it's defensive. It's you made me look
what's
like
your
an
guarantee?
No, you made me look like an idiot in front of my wife. You made me look like an idiot in front of my
really?
Husband.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, you get people.
Well, people are insecure.
Well, you get people
yeah.
in that are like, here's this dog I bought, and, you know, he's such a pain, and I paid all this money for him, and he comes from this, and I used to be, and I used to do this, and my old dog, and my neighbor's dog,
oh,
and my
yeah.
husband, and all this stuff, and I'm like, dude, and then I work the dog, and then all of a sudden, all roads lead back to that guy or that
mm-hmm.
girl.
You know, I think everything has its fringes, and you're always going to get people like that.
Yeah.
I think doing this type of...
Yeah, but sometimes the point is it's so blatantly clear... And I'll tell them, I said, I can get your dog to do anything you want. Like, within the next half an hour.
Yep.
And again, that's statistically, like, I've done it.
Yeah.
And we're talking not behavior modification. We're talking dogs that pull on leashes, jumping.
But again, that's a lot of times that's people that really aren't looking for.
They're looking for an escape, but they're also looking for me to say, oh, this is why.
Yeah.
You know, so they want to come in and I
point at the dog maybe rather than them.
Yeah. And they want to give me all this money.
Yeah.
And trust me, like, we're in the business to help dogs. And you can ask, you know, any of the managers that work here that you know, do the managing portion of the things. I never take money because I forget, because it's not about that for me. And so when people come in, I'm just like,
focused on the dog.
Yeah. Do you realize, like, they're literally about to either kill the dog. They're about to get divorced.
Just give it away, and then who knows what happens.
And tears are rolling down their face, and they're like, I love this dog. And again, we're talking about, you know, a regular consultation here.
Can you imagine just, like, giving – you know, a lot of these dogs have been in these families now, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year,
years,
right?
Years, sometimes eight years.
And they're ready to give them away. Can you imagine that dog?
But it's
– I mean, you know, I know they're an animal, but at the same time, it's just that – that's got to be – it's such a depressing story.
Yeah, it's tough playing – you know, it's tough playing my position sometimes because sometimes it comes down to just straight therapy, just family therapy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, there's obviously a big disconnect between you and your kids and you're this and you're that. And I'm like, do you guys seriously want this dog, or do you want to go to a professional that maybe you didn't think that I knew what I was doing and I was going to say there's no hope?
Yeah.
Or do you guys really want to keep the dog? And that's the consultation process. And so, you know, when people like yourself come in, hey, I got two huskies and they don't know squat and it sucks because I can't walk them because they pull. They don't come back. So you can't bring, you know, you can't bring them places, right? And so people ask me, how much time do you think it's going to take? How much? And I said, I said to you earlier, I said, how much is it going to take me? And I'm honest with him. I said, I can get this done right now. We'll do it right now. But what I'm going to – I had a couple come in Friday because we didn't do anything yesterday because of the marathon dance. But I had a couple come in Friday, and they said, my dog does all these things. And it's a typical day, you know. And I whipped the dog in the shape with a little leash pressure. They picked their jaws up off the floor, and they were like, how did you do that? And I said, because I know how to create the relationship with the dog.
Immediately.
And so, but they always think train. It's going to train. You know, it's going to train. It's going to train. And it's almost like they think of it as lifting weights, where it's just collectively going to take time. And we're talking about basic leash pressure here, because behavior modification is exactly that, actually. It does take time. But, you know, a lot of people out there, like yourself, I forgot. I just heard a statistic, too, where a lot of the dogs that are being put into shelters and being euthanized are all behavioral issues. They're all behavioral issues. You know, people, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, why else? Well, sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's
makes
sense.
And don't get me wrong. There are people in that just say, what do I need to do? And they get it done. They do, which is what, you know, which is great. But anyway, going back to our consultation process, is when people bring me in their dogs, here's what not to do. Don't tell us about the dog you had before.
Yeah.
Which
people just want to talk to, though.
It's like they see you on YouTube and they come in, or they see your Facebook, or any business is like that.
Yeah.
And they just like a car. They're like, what do you think of my car? Because I know you know cars.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, And honestly, that's why.
But you're going to get that from anybody. I mean, it's just they want to make conversation with you. They're concerned. They're nervous. And it's stressful too, right? They may be bringing in a dog that they think that next week they might have to get rid of.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a big deal, and I know you understand the dynamics of it because you've seen it all.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal.
So tell me how could you better your life with your dog through training right now?
Oh my goodness! Right now I can't walk both of them down Main Street.
Couldn't walk one of them.
No, I can't. Colby's great.
You can walk them, but Colby. You couldn't have control. Like, so say you walk Colby, and another dog came out. There's no way
he
you'd
does.
Be able to,
well, he's pretty good. Well, he is. He's
okay, a, so say another dog. Say another dog was pulling towards him. Would you be able to restrain him in a manner of you
well,
saying?
Well, they're huskies. I want him to pull.
Yeah, that's one of those quotes.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
But the point is would you be able to say a command to your dog and them actually retreat, retract, and recluse and actually heal and stop the dog?
No.
Exactly. So, which is okay.
It's not okay. And I know people are going to, you know, listen, I understand. It's, you know, I've heard it. I've read it on in comments and everything else. I've seen other podcasts. You know, you're irresponsible if you don't do those things. Hikers is a big deal about hiking, right? Hikers, I love taking my dogs on a hike. And our last dog, we could literally take him on a hike.
There you go. There you go, guys. My last dog. Yeah. There it is. It's true. It doesn't matter. Nobody can take Jack on a hike. It's hard. It's like nobody cares about the.
I know.
It's like starting a conversation. Going, my last girlfriend.
I'm still gonna tell you, wait,
that's weird because it's not the same thing. It's so different.
I know.
That's my point here, guys.
But my point is that I want to take my dogs on a hike, and I think that's one of the main reasons. You know, Christine, my wife's a big hiker, and. Pulling a dog, having a dog on a leash when you're hiking is just really no fun.
That's brutal.
It is brutal.
It's like,
except it's kind of nice with the huskies because they kind of pull you up like, you know,
right.
Short breams and stuff like that. But, just to go with a dog on a hike loose, but you wouldn't believe the comments that are out there about loose dogs.
Well,
you know,
it's such a big deal now. Yeah, let me give you an example.
It's so irresponsible.
My dogs... So, like, I have three dogs. I have an older dog. She's about 14. I've had her since high school. She's chilling in the truck. That's what she likes to do.
Amazing.
I'm going to let her live her
That's
years
her crate.
Out. Yeah, so she just likes chilling. And then I have a St. Bernard, which is sitting right next to me.
Snoring.
Snoring.
I'm snoring the microphone. Is the microphone picking it up?
So, and then I have a shepherd, but I can't bring my personal dogs out anywhere in public.
Yeah.
Right? And that's sad because my dogs are trained. I can tell you that for sure. They're trained. And the public, like yourself, no offense, but you know that's why you're on the show. The pet owner, yes, like yourself,
is
what's ruining dog ownership for responsible dog owners.
That's a great point.
And then quote period end it because that's true. It's so true.
I have no rebuttal to that, and it's very true because. It's, let's face it, when I had my dog that was, all right, I'm going back to the old dog, but when he was loose and another dog came up to him, you know, that was not, or was less trained or less, you know.
Hold on, let me pause you for a second because there's people that work with dogs professionally on multiple different levels that they don't,
cringing of what I'm saying right now, right?
But no, it's, I don't trust the public because you know that if everyone had their dog trained, we'd all live pretty good.
Yes.
Right? Oh,
yes,
my dog doesn't like your dog. Can you recall your dog? Oh, sure.
Utopia.
Right?
Yep.
And so we have Chris. Chris is here. And Chris, you don't have to move or anything. But let me ask you a question. So Chris trains a lot of police dogs, multiple different things, for scent work, protection work, apprehension. And Chris and I have been training together for a while. And
what's apprehension?
Apprehension. It's like getting the bad guy. Right, Chris? Apprehension?
Oh, apprehend.
Yeah.
Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah, apprehension. Yes. Awesome. So... Chris, yes or no question, do you trust the public, like if you were to go somewhere with your dog and you saw two or three other dogs in the open field, would you bring your dogs out?
I can answer that for him.
Absolutely not. That's his quote, right?
No.
And neither would I.
And neither would I.
You would. You would. You would. You would.
Yeah, maybe I would.
Okay. You go,
no,
you,
I wouldn't.
You
no, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Because I get it now.
Okay. You showed up to a field to let your dogs run.
Yeah.
Right? And is that going to pick it up too much? You can turn it off if you want to. The heater just turned on. You could just turn it on off. But, no, let me ask you a question. You go to a field, and you're, like, all jacked up to get your dogs to a field to run around, and you see the other dogs, you're going to let them out.
He hates heat.
But if something happens, shame on who? Who knows? Right?
Well, really, both of us, right?
Yeah, of course. Because
the pet owners.
Well, yeah, it's true because
no, I know, and that's one of the reasons we're having this today, right?
Right.
It is. It's not a combative thing, pet owner versus handler. It's more education, right? I mean, I don't think people. Again, I'll reiterate. I don't think people realize how wonderful they can improve their life with their dogs if they take the time and effort to train them.
But let me rephrase. Just everything was great.
Not over
except,
the top.
No, stuff, it's not even train. It's just understand.
Well, yeah.
It's blatantly understanding your dog.
Well, I know understanding them, but
yeah. You could say you understand your dog, but what I would look at your situation and evaluate is no.
You know my situation very well,
so
candid.
You don't know your dog. You love your dog.
Yeah.
And there's a huge difference.
Yes, it's a great point. You don't think I know my dogs? Oh, my
no.
God.
No. If you knew your dog, you would be able to dictate what they did and what they didn't do. Correct?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Your dog... I'll put it to you this way, guys. So I go over to Fred's for dinner every now and then. And correct me if I'm wrong. And this was never to build up this moment. But correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm sitting on his couch, you know what I'm going to say. If I'm sitting on his couch eating something or even drinking something.
No, this is what I hear here. Fred?
Is this?
Fred, what is he doing?
Yep. Because
you don't move the bowl.
I don't move
the
bowl.
Anything. You don't
I don't move the plate because it's not my responsibility, and not because I'm a dog trainer.
It's kind of
it's
funny.
It's not my responsibility to pull the plate away. I sit there and I
get a laugh and I get you more food.
I let your dog eat the entire plate because I can see you across the room or across the living room snapping your fingers, yelling, Kobe, Kendall, Kobe, Kendall, right? Nothing matters. Like
it's embarrassing.
But then if you were to, like, I'm not questioning your love for your dog, no, and
that's a great point to get across. Love versus understanding.
Yeah, and I would rather understand my dog and love them.
Yeah,
it's like kids.
Yeah, right.
Like, I love you, son. Here's $50. Go clean your room. Give me 50 more.
Let me tell you, I do everything I did for my kids, I do for these dogs. I'm telling you.
That explains a lot.
No, I'm not kidding. Everything I do for my kids, they go to school, right? They go to daycare.
Okay, but yeah, exactly. But let me ask you this:
I feed them raw.
If your dog, Fred has like a Long Island accent. That's weird. So if you're, say your kid,
comes out when
let
I get,
me ask you this: your kid, okay, this is perfect. Ready? This is going to be one for the books. And you walked right into this one, by the way. Mm-hmm. If your kid, okay, your child that you're responsible for, walks across a busy street and they come, say they're five, and they come back and they can comprehend things, you're going to rip them a new one, right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Why did you do, what would you say? What would you say to your child if they walked across a busy road?
First of all, they speak English.
Okay.
That helps.
Okay, but they understand what you're saying, correct?
Yes, I know this is a metaphor.
And you would let them know.
Yes.
What would you do?
I would tell them they were wrong.
And
this is how you do it, or this is what you do.
Right, and the consequences that could happen, maybe.
I would spank them.
Yep, right?
No.
So
no, I wouldn't.
But let me ask you this.
Maybe I did. I don't think.
Let me
no,
ask you
I
this.
Never,
say
never
say you have a six-month-old puppy, Colby and Kendall, even their age now, mm-hmm. and they ran across the street to get to another dog. What would you do then? After you caught them after 20 minutes of chasing them, what would you do?
This is going to be kind of ironic, but I'd say bad dog.
Right.
And you said no bad. And your whole premise is no bad dogs.
And they'd look at you and go, where'd you come from? And do you have any food? And why are you here? Right? So that's my point.
I know.
Is like and I don't have kids, but like our parenting, I see parenting all the time in dog training or in the dog world.
Yeah.
And I ask that same question, you know, many times in many different ways, but, you know, you kind of walked into that one there. You would ream your child out for spitting or biting the principal.
Oh, yeah.
Or running across a busy street. But when you get your dogs back, you feel the same. Like, I'm not taking that away. You feel the same, like, happy that they're alive, happy that you ducked out of a huge vet bill, happy that you didn't see your dog get crushed and blood all over the road, which I've seen. You know, you're happy about that. But then when you go to reprimand them, what the hell are you going to do? If you hit them, like, and Fred doesn't, but like, there's people out there who just kick their dog and they're like, why the hell did you do that? If you yell at them, they have no idea what you just did, right? So,
Tom, today, just being outside, I was, like I said, I was shoveling the deck from leftover snow from this week, and they were out, they were playing, and they were really being good, and it was time for them to come in, and I realized, because I knew it was coming on today, and I'm sitting there having a conversation with these dogs.
Right.
And I'm saying, no, don't eat that. Get up here. No, stop digging. I mean, just on and on. I'm having conversations with them.
Right.
And I'm realizing, oh, my gosh, if I just had those, you know, those
commands,
single command words and like maybe no. The e-collar and all right. would be good. And
but a lot of times, let me ask you this.
My neighbors must think I'm nuts.
Right, because I mean, you really run around and talk to yourself. And I think I said that in one of my
podcasts. Yeah, because I'm up on my deck. They're down there. And, yeah, it really does look like I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
and,
is okay.
Yeah. And,
I want them to think I'm
crazy. I said that in one of my other podcasts about I went to the bank, and I had actually him out, out the window, Thompson. And she goes, oh, my God, you're so cute. And I looked at her, and I said, that's a bit pushy. And she asked me if, you know, and all this stuff. And she goes, oh, no, I was talking to your dog. And I was like, well, that's weird because my dog doesn't speak English.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
So,
that's funny.
But, like, and I talk to my dogs, too.
When they're really trying to communicate, the person's really communicating with you. They just don't realize it.
Right. So that's my point is when you're sitting at home with your dog.
Again, that's a pet owner.
And it's a pet owner. Yeah, right. That's why you're here. Welcome, Fred. But I have a plate of food and your dog's licking it. You're yelling at him, don't eat that. What are you doing? Because you want to tell me that, right?
No, because I don't think he should be eating that food. I think he should only be
eating his dog understands food. That.
No, I understand. You're right.
Right? Like you get a room full of people and your dog starts eating off somebody's plate.
I'm gonna fix that.
You're yelling. Yeah, but
we have to fix
that's
that.
That's fine.
Let's
we
work
can,
on that.
This is for the masses of people who,
yes.
You know, don't
again quality of life, right?
Right.
I mean, what if that was
a plate full of dark chocolate?
No, what if you had over some, you know, the school teacher or your pastor or your, you know. And you had a nice little thing going on, and the dog runs up and starts eating off their plate. You know, again, quality of life, you know, improving your social.
And now you have to, your dog's potentially going to get sick, but now you have to take your dog and put him in the crate, and guess who looks like an idiot? The dog.
Yeah.
When the dog's like,
boy,
wait
that
a minute.
Was a you, bad dog.
Yeah, you let me do that every day.
No.
Why can't I do it to the pastor?
That's why that whole no bad dogs is just, I mean, when you first hear it, it's like, what? And then think about it, it is the theme of dog ownership.
Yeah.
There are no bad dogs.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that work with dogs professionally and, you know, that we've seen some neurotic dogs.
Well, yeah, nasty, okay.
But
in
general,
there's no bad dogs. Yeah, of course, like anything. I mean, you have mental illness in dogs, I'm sure, too, right?
Right, yeah. right.
Inbreeding, all that stuff.
Yep, so... You know, moving forward, I think that's the continual battle that I'm fighting for the dog. I used to go to I was an animal control officer. I literally used to go to court and legally fight dog owners about abuse and abandon and neglect, and I had to play it by the book. Now I get paid for people coming in, and I tell them my exact mind, which is great, and it gives me an opportunity to help them and their dog. But you know, there's a huge disconnect. I think with, like I said, I tell people all the time that you have a one-dimensional relationship with your dog, which means your dog. See, and I help dogs, and people are like so wowed all the time about, wow, how'd you do that so quick and all this stuff, and I say I say don't take me the wrong way, I have a better relationship with your dog than you
right
do.
Now. As of this moment, than you.
As of this moment, you've owned your dog for one
but, Tom,
year,
you
six
do
months,
know,
two
again,
years.
You do know that that's. I mean, I'm just. Reiterating something you already know, but you know that again, that's an innate quality you have, and that you were put here to educate people.
I think so.
That you know to improve the life of their life and the life of the dogs.
Yeah.
So but, you know, it's not something that you should you. I don't think you do that. You look at as being like, wow. What do you?
No,
you,
and that's why I started doing it. That's what I
is,
that's that
right.
was it. When I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, that's what it was like.
Yeah, it was.
I said, how do you not know how to do this stuff? And then I started realizing.
Yeah.
So now I'm respectful of it.
Yep.
But I do say these things, and I'm like, I have a better and the dog will literally do, and the people will cry and they're grabbing each other like, holy crap.
This
like
is
it's
great.
Magic.
You know why? It's but it's wonderful because now they know. wow, we have hope here.
Or, wow, I really screwed up.
Yeah, or there's hope.
One or the other.
Of now being, this dog is going to remain in our family.
Yeah, and so.
That's a really big deal.
Oh, it's huge. I'm very grateful for my ability to help families. But I tell people literally to their faces, and again, I say, don't take this the wrong way, but I have a better relationship with your dog than you do. And they look at me like, I said, no, it's true. I go, your dog loves you more. Mm-hmm. Your dog doesn't even like me, but your dog respects me and understands me.
Great point.
But again, going to work, would you rather take orders from your buddy, or would you rather take orders for somebody that you respect and you can see eye to eye with?
Yeah, right? I would, yes, B, most
right.
likely,
so
in
then,
most cases.
So yeah. Then moving forward again, you have that relationship.
Not that I wouldn't respect my buddy, but I see what you're saying. You're saying that, yeah.
No, but you
but somebody
have...
somebody that you, yes.
You got to have balance.
Yes.
You got to have balance.
Well, getting onto balance, that's a perfect example or a perfect subject that I've been thinking about too, is that there has to be balance. Not mm-hmm. only just in, you know, in your personal life, between personal and work.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that are happiest, right, are the people that have balance in both life their personal life,
yeah,
their home life, their personal life, and their work. And it's the same thing, you know, with pet ownership, is, you know, having that balance, you know, not having it all one way, love, give, you know, the dog's taking, and you're giving. And it's got to be the other way. And now you have balance.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, what's the other side of love in dog ownership is discipline. Period.
Right. And you want somewhere in the middle, right?
Right. So you see
well,
me...
Well, I want somewhere in the middle. Like,
yeah, but you see me...
There's some guys that all they want is discipline.
Yeah. And we talked about that last time. And there's got to be balance. I don't like... Like, I want my dogs to be happy. I want my dogs to have fun. I want my dogs to live life and run and play. But when I say, okay, there's a coyote coming. Okay, there's another dog. Okay, I need to be able to say, get your butt back here and listen because I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, it's so bizarre to me how many people out there who have dog issues don't see what they're missing. And to be honest, like I said before, if you're having issues with your dog, chances are you don't have discipline. And we talked about this last time with Tarimuto. Discipline isn't pain. Discipline isn't abuse. Discipline is...
No, that was a great... I think it reiterated a lot, you know. But I think there's a real good community out there now.
Yeah.
And with YouTube and Facebook and, social media, I think it's gonna help families and dogs.
Here's what I tell people. And, you know, this would kind of be like our wrap up here about the whole conversation, I think, is to the dog owners out there and even the trainers, do what makes sense to you. I've had people come in, they're like, yeah, my older trainer told me to shake a can of rocks at him when they did something. I'm like, does that freaking make sense to you? You want to carry around a can of rocks? Like,
really? You've heard that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or a can of rocks to throw on the ground when they do something wrong. Or my old trainer...
Wow. That's a really odd one.
Yeah. And well, it's the same thing as like having a one-year-old dog that knows basics but still having to use hot dogs to get him to do basics.
I mean, why not use the clicker thing? I mean, that's a pretty
it's all great.
But I know it's
the same thing of like when people come in and they say, I work their dog here, and I say, you know, Fido, sit. And they look at me. And I say, sit. And they look at me. And I go to the owner and I say, okay, well, your dog doesn't know sit. So, and they go, oh, whoa. And they're scrambling.
Trying to prove that they can.
No, they're looking for food, right?
Oh.
And so they go, look. And I go, okay, guys, this isn't my first rodeo. Yeah. I know what your dog will sit for, but your dog doesn't know the command or the behavior sit.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
Right? And so I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to reevaluate your relationship. Your dog is only working for a third-partied currency, and it's not you. I gotta tell you something. It's not you.
That's good. Yeah, that's true.
And that's what happens a lot of times. Is people, and that's the thing. Is like your first thing is like if I told you, Fred, get your dog to sit, and you couldn't, the first thing you'd reach for is food because you know that they would do it for
What's interesting is that that doesn't help in the situations that you really need them to sit, where you really need them to come, where you really need them to recall. What if you don't have food? What if they're, you know, 40 feet away from you? So, yeah, understanding your dog and going to that extra
your core relationship is huge. And that's
taking that extra effort. And it doesn't always cost money. I mean, the resources on YouTube and things like that. I mean, if you want it to happen, you want it to happen quick, and you're really willing to put in the time, come see
first.
The America's Canine Educator. But you, I mean, watching your videos is just it's really something else.
There's a lot of information out there, and you know,
and these podcasts that are gonna be going on and on every week.
Yeah. Yep. So we're gonna do this every week, and I think that kind of wraps up the whole segment for today.
You want to say goodbye?
Thompson's been snoring here. So
could you hear the snoring on there?
So thank you guys so much for joining us today. That's thanks, funny. Fred, for coming on.
Absolutely. I look forward to more of this.
And if you guys haven't yet, please subscribe to my YouTube channel and also subscribe to my podcast. And I say please because, honestly, I'm doing this for the people out there to help them. And the more people that join the movement or join the program, I will continue to work hard for. You know, there's a time where I woke up today with a sore throat, a headache, and I really didn't want to do anything. But I said, you know what? I can actually go out and create content and save one dog's life or save one relationship, and that's why I do it. So the more people who tag on to this project and help us grow, I will continue to do more for us. So subscribe, download, share, do as much as you possibly can. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will talk to you next week. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.